want to talk about silver linings today. Take your Bibles with me if you have them and turn to the book of Philippians. And yeah, I'm going to change it up. I'm going to make it different for you. So those of you who already have the translation on the app picked out, we're doing differently tonight. We're going to use the ESV, the English Standard Version, tonight instead of my usual. So we're going to read from the English Standard Version, Philippians chapter 1. Now, if you don't have your Bibles, there are some in the back that you're welcome to use while you're here. So please feel free to avail yourself of those. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Let's pray. Father, these are your words to us, and I ask that you would open our hearts to hear your voice tonight. Father, may the words that I say be yours. And may we truly hear and know you and understand what it is that you're saying to us. Give us the courage to respond in faith and in obedience for your glory. How many of you like storm clouds? I do. As long as I can look at them from a distance. When we lived in Ukraine, the first place we lived was an apartment. 7 stories up. You'll understand this. 7 stories up. Victor and I live in the same country. See, мы знакомы. We know each other. 7 stories. Of course, the elevator didn't work, so you're walking up every day. But I tell you, you've got to understand something about Ukraine. The very first time we landed in Ukraine, we landed in Kiev, and then drove 8 hours south down to the city where we lived, which is called Dnipropetrovsk. Good luck with that one. And I'm looking around as we're driving. And I looked over at Trish and I says, you know what, God has a sense of humor. She looks at me. I mean, we're jet lagged, we're tired, we're cranky. We're like, what are you talking about? I says, God flew me halfway around the world to land me back in Saskatchewan. If you've driven across central or southern Saskatchewan, you might as well have been in Ukraine. It's farmland. And no one generates storms like the plains, like prairies. And man, 7 stories up, the thunderstorms that we watched, that we encountered. I remember my daughter and I one time, Trish and the boys were out somewhere, and we were in our apartment. We had the end apartment, and we had both sides of the building. So we watched this storm as it came and as it blew over top of us, and we ran from one side of the apartment building to the other to continue watching it out the other side. Just amazing storms. Storms scare me, but I love watching them. Storms can be scary, but storms are a regular part of life. You know what, I'm going to pause my sermon here just for a moment to put in a little advertisement. We should be used to that by now, right? We're about 30 seconds into the program, so it's time for commercial break. Every month, what we're going to do, we're going to continue going through our series on Philippians, but the last Sunday of the month, Last Friday, all right, my wife is throwing things at me. Hey, it's Friday, not Sunday. The last Friday of the month, we're going to do something a little bit different sermon-wise. And so next Friday, the last Friday of June, we're going to start another series. Oh, one more time and it's mine. Where is that phone? This series is called Storm Theology. And it's a series, it's a short series, it better be, because we're just going to do one sermon a month. But we're going to take a look at some storms in Scripture and see how that relates to the storms we face. What kind of things can we learn from actual physical storms in Scripture? What can we learn about some of the storms that we face? Whether those storms are employment-related, family-related, health-related, doesn't matter. So we're going to start talking about storms next week, and then every Friday, every last Friday of the month through to the end of the year. So you know you want to come out the last Friday of the month to hear about storm theology. But today we're not talking about the storm. We're talking about the other side of the clouds, the silver lining. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me... Wait, hold on, Paul. What? What's happened? Paul gives us a hint in the next verse, something about imprisonment. But see, to get to understand the full impact of what Paul is saying, we have to understand where he's coming from, right? What's the most important thing when you study Scripture? I'm a teacher, you know I'm going to give you quizzes. What's the most important thing to know when you're studying Scripture? Context. Exactly. What's the second most important thing? Right? The grammar. Come on, you should know that by now. Not the grammar, just the grammar. Some of you will laugh on your way home. What's the context? What has happened? Paul refers to his situation. What is his situation? We know it's an imprisonment, but that's all we know from Philippians. So let's take a look. How many chapters in the book of Acts? Pop quiz. Wow. We're really struggling tonight. 28. Paul's third missionary journey ends in chapter 20. Chapter 21 starts the situation that Paul finds himself in now. 21 out of 28 is where this scenario begins. It takes 8 of the 28 chapters of the book of Acts to describe what Paul is talking about in that one tiny little word. I want you to know what has happened. What has happened? Paul came back, starting in Acts 21. Paul comes back from his third missionary journey. He's warned, don't go to Jerusalem, you're going to go to jail. Thanks for the warning. We all know Paul, right? Wonderful guy. Just can't tell him anything. He had a prophet come up and take off Paul's own belt and tie his wrists up and say, you go to Jerusalem, this is going to happen to you. Thanks. Appreciate that. I'm going to Jerusalem. What happened? Paul gets arrested. There's plots against his life. There's scheming. He's held in trial in front of the Jewish elders several times, in front of the Roman elders. There's a plot on his life. There's conspiracies against Paul. And this is in the first 2 weeks of his incarceration. This is right at the end of his third missionary journey. Wow. So they whisk him off to the Roman center of power. I want you to hear something. Paul is there while Felix is governor, and Felix tries him, and Felix kind of likes Paul. He kind of plays with his mind, and it makes him challenged. Paul challenges Felix. After some days, this is chapter 24 of the book of Acts. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul, and he heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed. He said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. See, we think, okay, Paul's in jail. Yeah, okay. But the very next verse, when 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. 2 years in Israel, Paul has been sitting in jail at the whim of the Roman governor, who was waiting for a bribe and who just liked to play with Paul's mind and liked Paul to play with his mind. 2 years this has been going on, more than. It took 2 years for Felix to be replaced by Festus. And before that, there were the trials and the attempts on Paul's life. This is an ongoing process. Two Roman governors plus the king currently reigning in Judea. King Agrippa, Paul is put in front of and spoken to. Paul finally says, "Hey, you know what? Let's take this all the way to the top. I'm tired of this. I want to go to the Supreme Court of Rome. It's my right as a Roman citizen. Let's take this to Caesar." Every Roman citizen had the right, when they were under judgment, to appeal to Caesar, to Caesar's judgment. And that's what Paul did. This has been going on for 2 years plus. Of course, many of us probably know the story of what happened next. Paul heads out by ship. But have you ever counted up the days that that journey took? For one thing, they were in the storm for 2 weeks. Without seeing sun, moon, or stars. 2 weeks being driven in front of the wind. They were 3 months after the shipwreck, waiting for the harbors to clear enough that they could sail. This is another incredibly long period of time. It probably took Paul at least 5 months to travel from Caesarea, where he was held in Israel, to Rome. So far, we're talking at least a 2.5-year process. I want you to know that what has happened. We're talking a huge period of time. How many of you, what was going on in your life 2.5 years ago? You remember? Some of you hope to not remember. That's how long this process has been going on for. 2.5 years. Finally, Paul gets to Rome. And of course, he's put under house arrest. He's not put into prison. He's allowed to live at his own expense. Acts 28, the very end, says he lived there in Rome 2 whole years at his own expense. So we are looking at least, by the time Paul writes this book of Philippians, Paul has been a prisoner of the Roman government for at least 3 years.
I want you to know what has happened.
Yep, Paul's a prisoner. Yep, and off we go. But do we really let it sink in? What were you doing 3 years ago? The year was 2014. Pastor Kevin was here and wouldn't leave for another year yet. That's how long a period of time we're talking about here. I want you to know that what has happened, that is the process of what has happened. 3 years of incarceration. Why? Because the Jews don't like the Apostle Paul. Because the Jews don't like Jesus at that point in time. 3 years of his life. That's a little bit more than a 1-hour storm, don't you think? God, help me get through this season. Doctors say it'll take me 6 months to get better. We're talking 3 years for Paul, and he doesn't see the end of it yet. He is still in house arrest. He still doesn't have his freedom. He is still incarcerated. I don't know if many of us can claim worse living situations than that. Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes life is nasty. Let's be honest. Sometimes life... But really, 3 years under Roman incarceration... And then on top of it, you have to pay. You're not even hosted by the government. You have to pay your own rent and your own food while you're locked up. Thank you very much. Paul is kind of weird, don't you think? 3 years, at least. We don't know exactly when during those 2 years he wrote the book of Philippians. But sometime during those 2 years in Rome, Paul wrote this letter. It may have been close to the end, which would make it close to 5 years that this process has been ongoing. It probably wasn't right at the beginning. Because the very next verse says, hey, you know what, guys? It's awesome. There isn't a single guard in the whole Praetorian Guard that doesn't know I'm here for Christ. Every day they change. Every day I get a new audience. And you know what the best part is? They go to sleep. I just have to jerk the chain. They wake up. Captive audience or what? Paul wasn't a prisoner. The Praetorian Guard was. That's how Paul looked at it. Take a look at this, Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, says the ESV. The word in that is actually the Praetorian Guard, the special guard that was guarding in Rome. The entire imperial guard. It has become known to all of them that I am here because of Christ. Do you hear Paul's enthusiasm? 4 years into incarceration, he's saying, yes, every single one of them have heard the gospel. Every single one of them know that I am here for the sake of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Every one of them have heard the passion in Paul's voice. What was Paul before he became a Christian? Do you remember? He was a Pharisee, wasn't he? Do you know what the Pharisees were famous for? Knowing the word of God. They memorized it. So here is the entire Praetorian Guard sitting with the Apostle Paul, who's got the entire scriptures in his head. Let's talk about Isaiah today. Have you considered the book of Lamentations recently? That's a silver lining. See, Paul had a choice, didn't he? He could grumble, he could complain. I know I would have. What do you mean I'm in jail? You can't lock me up for this. I have my rights. I'm a Canadian. I have freedom of speech. You can't lock me up for this. I would be on my phone to my lawyers. Or I'd be finding some awfully quick. I would just be crabby, grouchy. And if you don't believe me, ask Trish. Ooh, she'll tell you. But that wasn't the Apostle Paul. It might have been in rare moments, absolutely. Because Paul was normal. He was human. And he got hungry. And I bet he was like me. When I get hungry, I get crabby. We had a saying in Ukraine. you want the preacher to do good ministry, feed him. Why do you think we have soup out there? It has become known through the entire Praetorian Guard that this hell that I have been living for the last 4 years is because of Jesus Christ. Ain't that cool? That's what Paul is saying. I mean, we're going to take a look several weeks from now at the storm that Paul lived through to get to Rome. And it's staggering what he went through, just that three-week period out of this 4 years. Amazing. Silver lining number one in this miserable storm that Paul finds himself in. The whole palace guard has come to know that I am here because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul could have looked at the thunder and the lightning and have gone, oh my. But instead, he looked and said, whoa, let's ride this baby. Silver lining number two. Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word than before. Not only has the entire Praetorian Guard heard, but you know what? The brothers scattered all around, they're looking at me going, wow, we can do this. And they began to spread the word farther and farther than Paul could have even dreamed of. The word about Jesus Christ, the word of his sacrifice on the cross for their sins. Ron, that song you wrote, I have never heard the gospel so clean and simple. Thank you. Won't you dedicate your life to Christ? Not only was Paul telling that, singing that to the Praetorian Guard, but all of the other men who were traveling were taking the gospel with them all over the known world. Silver lining number two, because I am in prison, the gospel's going like wildfire. This is cool. Paul is excited. I don't know what it would take you to get excited after 3.5 years of incarceration under the Roman government, but I'm not sure that would do it for me. But it did for Paul. Silver linings. He chose to look at what God was doing. Now, what is the really, ladies? What is the really annoying thing about silver? Yeah. See, I knew the guys would go, what? It tarnishes, doesn't it? And it doesn't look so nice when it's tarnished. Silver turns black and gross, and it takes a lot of work to get the tarnish off. But it's still silver, isn't it? Let's take a look at these next few verses. Starting at verse 15, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me, thinking to cause me pain in my imprisonment, to kind of turn the knife a little bit. What does Paul say? Silver is silver. What do I care what their motives are? Wait a minute. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. See, we get all bent out of shape. I know I do sometimes. When someone with the wrong motive says the right message, that's not acceptable. Oh, really? Why not?
because it's not how I would do it. Because their motives aren't right. Just because.
We get so wound up sometimes in other people's motives. You know what? Quite frankly, none of your darn business what their motives are. That's what Paul realized. It's none of my business. Their motives are between them and God. And God is going to judge the heart, not me. But if they're using God's word and talking about Jesus, yes, I'm excited. Because their motives are not going to keep God's spirit from working in people's lives. How often do we get so bent out of shape about someone with the wrong motives or with motives other than what we have? Is God's word going out in truth? Now, careful here, because Paul never took it lightly when people spoke heresy, which is the truth 2 degrees off. That's heresy. Paul never took that lightly. But when people are speaking the truth, who cares why they're doing it? They're doing it. That's cool. Silver is silver, and when it's lining your cloud, silver is silver, tarnished or not. And that was Paul's perspective. Sometimes I have a hard time wrapping my head around this. How could Paul not care? Because he was looking at something bigger. He was looking at someone bigger. He was looking past the message, past the people's motives, and he was seeing his Lord behind all of that. I am here. Why? Why has this process taken place? Because I'm a servant of the Lord. And if I'm his servant, he has his right to do whatever he likes to me. And he will do what he wants to do in and through this. And you know what? Paul could have never preached to the Praetorian Guard. It's not like you can walk up to the barracks and say, hey guys, how many of you want, sit down for a bit, I'm going to talk to you. Don't think that would have worked. But you know what? The entire Praetorian Guard heard Paul preach. And not only that, but like an anthill that's been stepped on, the gospel went because the anthill got stepped on. Silver linings. What is your storm today? What is it that is clouding your vision? What is it that is darkening your horizon? I don't know what that is. But I do know my God. And I know that past those clouds, he stands as capable and as competent as he ever was and ready to do in you and through you and because of you exactly what he wants to. And that's the important thing. See, we can get so focused on what's right in front of us, the nastiness, the horribleness, the clouds, the frustration, the hardness of life. Yes, never hear me say life is easy, life should be, wee, it's fun. No, sometimes it isn't. But what's your perspective? See, there's just a couple words left that I haven't read yet. What then? Verse 18. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. That's a choice. You notice it. He doesn't say, and that makes me feel good. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, and that puts a smile on my face. He doesn't even say that. He says, in this I will rejoice. Thank you, Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice that you and I can make tonight. I don't know what your clouds are, but I do know that God is behind them. And because God is behind them, there is a silver lining. You may not be able to see it. You may not experience it for another 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years. Paul's clouds started 3.5, 4 years, 5 years before this. And now he's seeing the silver lining. But there is one. You have a choice to look for it and to look at the God behind those circumstances. God is there. God is in control. And sometimes we say, well, if God is in control, how come it seems like the world is so out of control? Because God is in control. The world is fighting it. Life is not going to get easier for us here. We know that. But for those of us who are part of God's family, guys, this is the worst it's ever going to be. Remember that. Every night, the team up here sings One Glad Morning. When this life is over, I'll fly away. And I will. That's my hope. That's my faith. This is the worst it's ever going to get, is this life right here. Now, if you're not part of God's family, if you've never accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made for your sins, buckle up, because this is as good as it's ever going to be. It doesn't get better. It only gets worse. This is the eye of the storm for you. And it's going to hit on every side. Silver linings. Every cloud has them. We see them when the sun peeks out from behind. But you know what? Sun's been there the whole time. The Son, Jesus Christ, is there through every one of your storms. Look for those silver linings. Make it your choice. You can choose to look at what truly makes you miserable, or you can choose to look past that and see the hand and the face of your God and say, I'll trust you.